Today on Family Talk.
Welcome to Family Talk with your host, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Roger Marsh, and today we are continuing our conversation with Dr. John Jackson. Dr. Jackson is president of William Jessup University, which is a private Christian liberal arts school in Rockland, California. And he joined Dr. Dobson to talk about the future of Christian education. Prior to becoming an educator, Dr. Jackson served as a pastor for 30 years at a number of churches, including Bayside Church in Northern California. He holds degrees in both theology and education, including a PhD in educational administration and organizational studies from the University of California, Santa Barbara. And he's been leading the fight against California legislation that would have threatened religious liberty in education. Now, at the end of the interview, Dr. Dobson sits down with Brad Bright to talk about the importance of voting in the upcoming election. So be sure to stick around for that. And now let's jump into today's edition of Family Talk.
You know, Dr. Clyde Cook was the president of Biola University. But Dr. Clyde Cook came to see me shortly before he died. He had been the president for 25 years. And I said, Clyde, answer a question for me. In 25 years, how have your students changed? He said, 25 years ago, when students arrived in their freshman year, we could count on them having a foundation of biblical truth. They had been taught it in their churches. They had been taught it at home. And they knew a lot about the Bible. Coming in, he said, that is no longer true. So many of the families are dysfunctional. So many of the families don't have a foundation themselves. They weren't taught it in their homes and when they were young and children. So they don't have a commitment to the word. And these are generalizations. There are many, many exceptions. But he said that it was just very apparent that there was work to be done. And they had to add courses that had to be taken to compensate for the fact that they couldn't count on students already having that basic understanding. Have you found that out? How would you react to what he said?
Complete agreement with you. This is what I would tell parents. Just because the school says they're Christian does not mean that you can trust all that's in the curriculum. You really need to look at the faith statement and how the faculty is managed. Yeah. If the faculty has tenure and if the faith statement is not signed every year, then what happens, as you know, Doctor, from your experience in higher ed, faculty can drift. If there's no corrective ability, that's a problem. Your friend Bill Bright talked a lot about the seven mountains. And I think that those are dimensions where Christians need to not shirk from. We need to go into government. We need to go into business, into the arts, into healthcare. We need followers of Christ in every one of those places who are biblically committed. And I hope Christian schools like Jessup and others will be able to train up that next generation to be transformational leaders.
How concerned are you that the cultural changes that we're seeing in this country will begin to impinge on Christian universities' ability to teach what it believes and to stay true to it?
I'm deeply concerned that the issues of human sexuality and gender and marriage are literally right at the doorstep of Christian universities, that some states and even the federal government might try to be aggressive and coercive. I think we dodged a bullet temporarily in California, but I see this happening.
With legislation 1146.
SB 1146, we dodged a bullet there, but I think it's going to come back. So I'm very concerned about sexuality, gender, marriage, pro-life kind of issues. I could see the day, Dr. Dobson, where a Christian teacher teaching in a Christian school about a biblical worldview could do what some would consider hate speech. And Dr. Dobson, I want to be very clear. Christians don't hate. We love. Our heart is broken for the world around us, but we also are going to be full of truth as we are full of grace. Jesus was full of grace and truth, and that's our model, and we're not willing to compromise the truth. So we love people. We're compassionate, but at the same time, we're going to teach the truth of God's word because we love people. So if I could just say very clearly, ideas matter. Elections matter. Actions matter. I want Christians to be salt and light in our world. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, what good is it? If the light does not shine brightly, what good is it? Jesus placed us here on earth as followers of his to be salt and light. We need to love the world, but we need to speak out against evil. But the truth is that we're in a season where the American Republic, the American idea, is in peril. Mm. You know, Doctor, I'm concerned that in California, we recently have had a curricular change so that as early as second grade, some of our school teachers are being literally forced by virtue of the curriculum to teach children that whatever their biological gender is today may not be where they stay, and that some little girls are going to become boys, some little boys are going to become girls, and that that journey of exploration on whether or not you are supposed to be male or female will happen for the rest of their school age years. I think that's tragic, and I think the consequences are potentially horrifying.
What would you do if you were a teacher in elementary school and were forced to do that?
Boy, Dr. Dobson, you don't ask easy questions, do you? I have family members and friends, of course, many, many friends who are public school teachers. I could not personally, in good conscience, teach that in a second grade classroom or in any classroom. So my Christian teacher friends, I would just simply say, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to band together, seek the counsel of pastors and other wise shepherds. And I think, quite frankly, we have to contend against the educational establishment and against the forces that are causing our public schools to be agents of this kind of indoctrination. That's quite frankly what it is. It's an indoctrination and a social experimentation.
Boy, I agree with exactly what you said, and especially the advice to parents. Why would you permit that? Why would you allow the school district or the powers that be in Sacramento and other states, for that matter, to impose something like that on not only the teachers but on the children?
And that's where, Dr. Dobson, I want to say that parents, Deuteronomy 6 is so critical, because what we cannot do is outsource the education of our children. And I think there was a time in our life where we thought, I'll just send my kids to school, the school will educate them, the business will teach them those skills, and I'll put a roof over their head and clothing. Parents, you must be vigilant. Ask God what he wants you to do. I'm not telling you what to do, but ask God what he wants you to do, and you must be responsible for your children's education.
Dr. Jackson, the T of LGBT, transgendered, has taken over. It's everywhere. It's in every magazine. You know, it's obviously there's a campaign here.
Dr. Dobson, I'm deeply burdened about the L and the G and the B part, but I'm particularly troubled right now at what you said, that the T part, the transgender agenda, is so aggressive and it's so hostile. I think what we're doing is breeding a culture of confusion, and I'm deeply concerned about the social consequences when we tell little boys and little girls, or adolescent boys and adolescent girls, that they may not be who they are biologically. In fact, their struggle, their difficulty may actually be because they're not who they were created to be biologically. I think that has huge social consequences, and I'm deeply concerned about it.
Mm. They take it a step further in saying that it is almost malpractice. In fact, they use that word, malpractice. If there is confusion there, a parent legally can't go to a state-licensed counselor or psychologist and get help with that. And the president of the United States said it. What right does he have to do that, to interfere in that regard? That makes me angry.
Well, Dr. Dobson, I join you in your anger, but I also join you in your brokenness. I join you in weeping when we read these things, because you know the consequence for the children. You know the consequence for the adolescents. And I would just pray that every parent, a Christian, Jew, any other religious faith, would read Deuteronomy 6 and recognize that parents have to teach their children. And loving their children and being compassionate of the children does not mean that we foster confusion. Gender clarity, the fact that God made us male and female, is really important. I think it's critical. I don't think gender is arbitrary. I don't think it's interchangeable. And I don't think it's inconsequential. Gender matters. The Bible's clear about that. Now, we need to have compassion and love towards people who are struggling. We need to have compassion.
Of course. Of course. And there has been historically.
Yes. And I think that Christian counselors long to be able to help people. But, Doctor, you were right on the state of the law. The whole idea of helping people discover their sexuality and move back to a biblical, God-honoring view of sexuality and gender. California state law is trying to operate against that for all licensed clinicians. I just heard recently, though, Doctor, that the American Academy of Pediatrics said that they would refuse to give any chemicals to a male or female under age 18 to engage in this sexual transition therapy because they believe that 99.5 or above percent of all young males or young females, by the time they're 18, they don't have gender confusion any longer.
Yeah. Mm. So if you interfere with the physical development of a child like that, you virtually predispose them to a decision that could follow them the rest of their lives.
And Dr. Dobson, you know we live in a country with all kinds of tragic implications. One of them is the administration and others in authority are fostering a culture of confusion, and we're sowing the seeds that will be decades, decades of a destructive harvest. There was another directive, by the way, that came out that went to 7,000 school districts, universities, et cetera, saying that the federal government was now going to interpret all references to sex in federal statutes as equaling sexual orientation and gender identity. And therefore, schools have to make their restrooms, their locker rooms, their sports teams available to whichever gender identity the person identifies with.
We
refuse to comply with that. We refuse. We will not do that.
I tell you, Dr. Jackson, that I expected an outpouring of anger as a result of that. By what right does the President of the United States make a statement like that, that parents have to send their children to schools where there's a gender-neutral policy in regard to dressing together and using a bathroom and other very personal kinds of things? I could not believe it. And for the most part, parents accepted it. That breaks my heart, to tell you the truth.
It breaks my heart. I'm not yet a grandparent, but as a parent, I want my children and I want my grandchildren to grow up in a society where a little girl doesn't have to worry about whether she's a little girl or not. She can be a little girl and be safe.
I mean, what? Have we gone absolutely crazy?
Well, Doctor, I may not have the number right, but I believe 26 attorney generals have filed suit or at least have indicated their strong disagreement. My hope is that this administration will see the light. I'm quite frankly politically cynical about that, but I'm a hopeful person. I hope this administration will see the light, and I hope that in this coming election that people will think about these ideas. Ideas matter, and because ideas matter, elections matter.
Mm.
I want to give two scriptures. They're both from 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord search to and fro across the earth for a righteous man, they may exalt him. And then 2 Chronicles 7:14, the one that I know that your listeners know. And that is we need to humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways, repent, and then the Lord will hear from heaven. He'll hear our prayers and he'll heal our land. That must be the passionate concern of every person who's concerned about America and concerned about biblical worldview.
How can people contact your university?
Yes. If they'll look at jessup.edu, J-E-S-S-U-P.edu, go to jessup.edu, can contact me personally. If parents will go to that website, we'd be delighted to serve parents around the country, delighted to serve in any way we can.
We started last time by talking about legislation, SB 1146, that would have had a major impact on Christian education. Some people didn't hear that broadcast last time. Summarize it again. We dodged a bullet. It didn't become law, but the decision was razor thin.
Yes. Dr. Dobson, SB 1146, as it was originally written, was going to require Christian schools to lose their religious exemption, and it was going to create a private right of action. SB 1146 was amended so that it only requires us to provide notification about our policies about sexuality and gender. However, please have your listeners not be lulled into complacency. We know in California that this is likely to come back. It's likely to come back in a more fierce and aggressive form. So we're getting ready for that. And I want the churches and I want the people of God and folks who care about the Constitution and the First Amendment to remain vigilant.
That legislation had another component to it having to do with Cal Grants, which discriminates against poor students and their parents.
It was just a terrible component of it. At Jessup, 3 out of every 10 of our students receive Cal Grants, and it disproportionately affects persons of color and first-generation students. So my African-American and Hispanic friends in particular were so burdened about this because it would have made them impossible to go to a school of their choosing, a faith-based school that would be faith-affirming, because they couldn't bring their Cal Grant to a school like ours. Because, Dr. Dobson, our school is not going to compromise our biblical and religious convictions, no matter what the state of California says regarding gender, sexuality, and marriage.
You're determined to stand your ground.
We are standing our ground. We shall not be moved.
But if people think the LGBTQ advocates and the ACLU and others are going to give up, then they are dead wrong.
And they've already said publicly they're not giving up. They're going to come back another time. So we need to be prepared.
And to do that, you have to be informed.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing here today.
Dr. Dobson, we also on our website, jessup.edu/religious liberty, have a page dedicated just to SB 1146. So Jessup, JESSUP.edu/religious liberty. And that page will be updated with information to keep your listeners aware.
Well, you've been listening to an interview done several days ago with Dr. John Jackson, who's the president of William Jessup University in Rockland, California. But this interview ended a little bit short, and we want to take that opportunity to let you hear about 8 minutes of another interview made also several days ago. This one with Brad Bright, who is the son of the late Campus Crusade founder, Dr. and Mrs. Bill Bright. Brad serves as president and CEO of Bright Media Foundation, which is an affiliate of Campus Crusade for Christ, or CRU Ministry, as it's now called. His primary focus is in his role as the director of Discover God, a strategy to help transform America by changing America's view of God. So with that, let's hear that interview.
I am extremely concerned about this upcoming election cycle. I believe this will be the most pivotal election in the history of this nation since this nation was formed. And here's why. I believe the outcome of this election will result either in your pastor going to prison or not going to prison. It will result in a small business person who wants to live the values, biblical values of their faith. It will result in them going to prison or not going to prison.
If they're committed to their faith.
If they're committed to living their faith as Jesus called them to do.
Why do you say that?
Because of the courts. The courts will determine the future of this nation. And whoever puts people on the courts controls the future of this nation.
Not just the Supreme Court.
No, not just
the
Supreme Court.
But the whole judiciary.
Appellate courts, district courts, they're going to be pushed one direction or another.
The president makes those nominations.
The president makes those nominations. The Senate approves them or disapproves them.
Why do you say there's a possibility of us going to prison?
Well, you look at what's already happening with religious freedom. Pastors are coming under attack in Houston, and I believe in Iowa, pastors have been told to submit their sermons to the city council. You see a number of things going on with Christian business people who are trying to live out their faith through their business, and their businesses are being basically shut down. And it's only going to get worse. The trajectory is clear of where we're going.
Brad, my perception is that many people don't really like the two presidential candidates, those who are running from the Democrat and Republican Party. But that's the choice they've been given. And there are a lot of people, I think, who are planning to stay home on Election Day. I wish you would explain why we cannot, I say we cannot, afford to do that.
Well, I understand that feeling. It is how I feel. Not only are there other offices at stake, there's Senate elections, there's the House, there's local elections for mayor, for city council person. I mean, all of these elections have an impact on your future, my future, the future of every believer here in this country. But here's really the bottom line on all of this. If you don't vote, you forfeit your moral right to complain about what our elected officials do. Yeah, I understand. If you don't vote, you forfeit that right. You have no moral right to complain if you don't vote.
And we're already experiencing moral decay in this country. So if we don't use our influence, who knows where this is going? We're not just talking about the election of a president and the Congress, of course, but also the selection of state leaders and city government and many of the ballot issues that depend on moral integrity. We just can't afford to sit this one out, can we?
No, we can't. This is the most significant election of our lifetime.
Well, Brad, your dad and mom have both gone on to heaven. Your dad's been gone for a number of years now. And he wrote a little booklet many years ago that was intended to inform the voter. It's been distributed for many years now. It was called, I think, Your Five Duties as a Christian Citizen. Is that the title?
Yes, Your Five Duties as a Christian Citizen.
And now it is seven.
It is now Your Seven Duties. We updated it and expanded it just a little bit. We needed to add a little bit more in light of current realities.
And you're so concerned about where we are as a nation that you have reprinted this little booklet and obviously updated it. And we're going to make it available to anyone for free who wants to ask for it. No charge at all. And it does deal with these seven duties. It's not just voting, but there are other aspects of it. And you have made them available to us, and we're going to pass them along to our listeners.
Yes, and we have it both in booklet form and PDF form. So it can even be downloaded online, whatever your preferred mode. However, in the booklet form, you can hand them out. And I encourage everyone to hand them out, throughout your church, because it's very basic. But it helps a person get started.
Make one last statement urging people to do their duty this year, particularly November the 8th.
Jesus said we're to be salt and light. Jesus said we're to be shrewd as a snake, but as innocent as a dove. Part of being shrewd is to know how to impact the world around you. One of the most basic ways is to vote and get other people to vote who believe and think like you do, who are followers of Jesus. If we don't, I literally believe the future we hand to our children is bleak indeed.
And finally, we have to pray about this election.
The first rule in your seven duties as a Christian citizen is pray. Pray, pray. If we don't pray, I mean, the sovereign God of the universe can do anything he wants to in a split second.
Of course.
If we're not talking to God about it before we're talking to people about it, we go out there without power. But one of the things we talk about in the booklet is to get informed. And the best way I know to do that is to form a group of friends that you trust. And each of you take one or two of the candidates or issues and go thoroughly, thoroughly research them and then come back and share with the group. So no one person has to carry the whole burden of figuring out how to vote. Divide it up among friends and meet, you know, once a week or once every other week between now and the elections.
Brad, thank you for coming by and for sharing this deeply felt need to get across to the American people.
Well,
I just fear there's so many millions that may sit this one out. We cannot afford to do that.
If we sit it out, we'll wake up to an America that we don't recognize.
Hmm. Thanks for being with us today. The booklet that we're making available to anyone who requests it is Your Seven Duties as a Christian Citizen by Bill Bright and Brad Bright. If you want a hard copy, you can contact us or you can get it as a PDF. And it's available either way at no cost. And I hope that many of you will choose to do this. Thanks again, Brad.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson.
Well, those are certainly challenging, thought-provoking words for Christian voters as we approach this crucial election. I'm Roger Marsh, and if you would like to hear any of today's Family Talk message once again, if you'd like to share it with voters and educators that you know, contact us at 877-732-6825 and find out how you can get a copy of the CD of this program. Or you can visit us online and download the broadcast right from there. Just go to drjamesdobson.org. Also, if you found today's program to be informative and useful and helpful to you, would you please consider supporting us as you're able? Your prayers mean so much to us, and your financial support helps us to continue to bring these kinds of issues to you through these broadcasts. Give us a call, 877-732-6825 with your tax-deductible donation, or you can make a donation online at drjamesdobson.org. Thanks for helping us stand for the truth. And be sure to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.